Well, good morning. Sounds like the sound is working well. How are you all? We're here. My name is Bart Allen, and we're supported by this church to a people group in Papua New Guinea called the Amdu. They were a previously unreached people group. And we're so grateful for this church. I'll tell you a little bit about our history in just a moment. I wanted to see some hands. How many Cedarville students do we have here this morning? Great job coming to the morning service, if I would have guessed. You know, college students. My wife and I, Emily, both are graduates of Cedarville. Emily attended Cedarville and this church when it wasn't quite this big, when it was in the older section in the late 90s. And I visited a few times. Her brother, I think, went here, Jonathan Weber. Anyway, good memories. In light of what's been going on over at Homecoming and in a verse this morning, you can see we're going to be studying the good news about Jesus Christ. Never too many times can we talk about the good news about Jesus Christ. And I've been noticing something, you know, as I get older, from my time at Cedarville, from my time growing up on the mission field, I'm a missionary kid as well, that as things get tighter and harder for Christians on this globe, and we see coming far off things that perhaps are going to be even more difficult for the believer, something else seems to be happening. I'm noticing, and I heard it over at the university through the weekend and throughout the world, I noticed that the Lord is shining the spotlight more and more. He's raising the light level on unreached people around the world, on going. I'm noticing it in the Cedarville magazine. I'm noticing it in various schools, like in particular School of Education. I'm sure they're not the only one. It's emphasizing students carry their gifting, their training overseas, spreading the light. The university president emphasizing openly he wants every student to have gone overseas during their time at Cedarville. Those are some of the changes, and I'm watching it in other arenas as well. I'm just casting it because we've been here for the Cedarville homecoming, and our son is a student, but I'm hearing these things, and I'm interested in them. Of course, the Lord is raising the light level on the needs around the world as we see things perhaps coming toward the end. Are you seeing these things? Are you noticing and becoming aware of what the Christian should be a part of in this world? So I'm going to read this verse here this morning. We'll talk a bit about the gospel, and I'm going to tell you about our story among the unreached people called the Amdu. So let's read this very familiar verse here together, where it says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." We'll be talking about this in the ABF hour as well, so you're not going to get away from it in either hours. We could talk about it for a long time, but just to break it down briefly, the gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. It is sometimes hidden, and we talk about it in Christian ways, but the gospel is always the good news about Jesus Christ. And this verse says it is the power of God for the salvation of whom? Right in front of you. Very important for those who believe. And that leads us into other Bible texts we could go into, like in Romans chapter 10, very familiar verse the missionaries often talk about. How can they hear, to paraphrase, without someone telling them? How can they understand the good news about Jesus Christ unless a preacher, or whatever you want to call them, tells them in their own language so they can understand? And that's what churches like yours have been all about in communities, towns, cities, states, nations, and around the world. And that's what I'm saying the Lord is raising the light level on. There are still people around the globe who still have not heard in their own language. What are we going to do about it? I feel like my life is so short, I wish I had another one. I would give it to another language group, if possible. I do not believe that's the way the Lord wants to do it, but he wants to do it through you. We seem to be stymied on how can the church reach those unreached and those who have never heard in our lifetime. It is possible if we would just go. All kinds of excuses. I wasn't called. Well, we could have a personal conversation, you and I, about that. I believe you are. With your gifts, with your talents, with your professions, yes. Every one of us have been left on this globe for one purpose, to make the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ known, whether you live in Jamestown, Cedarville, Dayton, wherever. Wherever God puts you on this globe with every, how do you say it in English? I don't even remember. Every inch of every fiber in your being, every part of your cell, until God takes the strength out of your body, should be given for no other purpose than glorifying him by letting other people know about the good news that is what Jesus Christ came to do for us. Now we're going to talk about why is that good news this morning. We talk about it like everybody knows, but everybody doesn't know. We say the gospel like everybody knows, everybody doesn't know. What is so good about the good news? You even see it on billboards. Jesus is the answer. Do you know what I think every time I see that? Maybe I'm just snarky I am, whatever you want to call it, irreverent, but I always say, what's the question? Because as a missionary, I know that people aren't asking the right question. So you, I include you, in the same boat as I am, Christians on this globe, left for one purpose. We are to be causing people to ask the question for which he is the answer. Are you following me? So I want to talk about that this morning. The Lord sent my wife and I, Emily, to a previously unreached people group called the Amdu in Papua New Guinea. Now, we could have gone to any number of other countries. The Lord led us to Papua New Guinea. There are still so many left who need to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language. But some of you know we left the United States in 2009, just about Christmas. So that would be, come Christmas, 12 years ago, when we've been living with this tribal group for 8 years. We're going to talk this morning in an ABF what we've been doing, and I'm going to generally lead you in this direction, talking about the gospel. How did we present the gospel to them so that it helps you? It's going to come around the back door into your ears and your brain. How might you present the gospel to a neighbor you've been trying to reach, a coworker, and perhaps God wants to send you overseas, but the Lord has the privilege of using it in your life. I don't have to worry that much about that. And then I pray, leading up to times when I speak, I just say, Lord, use me however you want in those people's lives. And I don't have to know how he does that. We'll have a question time during the ABF, so you can save your questions for that. I just want to also show you just a couple of pictures so you can put in your mind, what does life look like there? What does getting around look like? You know, it's very, very pretty in the jungle, but it's not safe. It's not like a park you would walk in and expect to be able to walk out unscathed. Now, you can walk into a park here in the United States and get hurt, yes, absolutely. But you are much more likely to get hurt in one of these parks. Nobody's there to make sure you stay alive unless you go with a buddy. Anyway, I won't go into all that, but the Lord wants us to go. And he says he's going to take care of the rest of it, right? We need to go and stop worrying about everything like he can't handle it. I want to show you a few pictures. We just shuffle so you can get a picture in your mind a little bit. This is what their houses look like, just built out of the jungle. In Papua New Guinea, there's more than 800 distinct language groups. Some have heard, many have not heard. They just need a believer to go to them. Now, an unreached people group is someone who has no believers, no Bibles, no churches, no access to these things. So when we go in, we make sure that they have not any access to the true gospel of grace. So we went in there, and these pictures are taken from that time when we were asking them. We went to as many villages in this one people group as we could in 8 days, and we asked them, this is what New Tribes Mission does. It's now called Ethnos 360, the mission we are with. This is what we do. These are the four or five things we offer. We want to come do them here. Do you want us to come do that? And they resoundingly said yes. So we moved in 8 years ago and went to witness to them what is good about the good news. Well, it took us a few years to learn their unwritten language. There's no CDs, no books, none of that. How do you learn an unwritten language? Very slowly, you might say. You go with them where they go. You do with them what they do. So it is a game generally for younger people. And in this case, it was mountains. Now, you don't have to go to the mountains. That's not just where the unreached people are. They also live in swamps. They also live in very, very beautiful islands. Yes. And I grew up in Bangladesh. There are plenty of tribal people there. Many have heard the good news. There's plenty of tribal groups in India. There's plenty of tribal groups, even, believe it or not, in cities who have their own unique languages, living in urban centers and have not heard the gospel in their language. We won't go into a lot of that this morning. I'll just show you one more picture. These guys, this is from the very beginning when we were doing that survey. They didn't know us yet, and you can see it in their body language, right? They're not too sure who we are. One guy's standing on a stump trying to look taller. You notice that? So they didn't know who we were at that point in time. It's quite difficult getting around in their area. It rains every night, so it's always slick. I actually wear hiking boots with steel spikes on the bottom. Because in order to walk where they walk on trees that have fallen, man, it's scary. But it's taken a lot of the fear out of it for me to use these steel spikes. Something about me. But after years of preparation, we started to teach the good news to them. And I want to ask you, where do you think we started? Say it again. Genesis. Why would we do that? We started at the beginning because they are not blank slates. They already have myths, ideas, stories from their ancestors about where things came from. Where did the sun, moon, and stars, the animals, the things we eat? How was the grain made, the ground made, and why are things the way they are? Does Genesis talk about those things? You better believe it. Come on. It's true. Genesis talks about all of those things. And they need to know about it. The other reason that we need to talk to them from Genesis, we need to not only root out the things that were false about what their ancestors taught them faithfully, how Satan was blinding them, isn't just simple. It's very nuanced, and they had heard about Jesus. You'll find very few places in the world now that have not heard about Jesus, especially in Papua New Guinea, labeled a Christian country. If you ask someone in Indonesia, what is your religion, they'll most likely say Islam. In Papua New Guinea, it's Christianity. They know that's the thing to say. Okay? But you can ask them, and they have no idea what faith is, no real idea why Jesus came to die, but they'll start to do this. Mix it in with what their ancestors taught them. Because they're hearing about this big God, they need to be pleasing, and they want to find out, what are the things I need to do to please this God? Most likely, what you're going to find there is an attempt at good works. Everywhere on the globe has gotten that sickness. Satan has mixed that in everywhere. It's something about being good that gets you to heaven. Even people in our country here are very confused about that. And then the Ten Commandments usually come up. God has this thing about the Ten Commandments. It's the thing that people can get around the world. And so they understood things about that they believed were true about their world, their environment, where they came from their ancestors, and this thing about God that they didn't understand. So we went back to Genesis, and we trust God in his account because, this is important, he was the only one there in the beginning. So we read his account of what took place there. In our teaching, we describe the things God had made, how he made them perfectly, and by his power, he made them from nothing. And I'm going to show you a few of the actual pictures we used with them. There were many things the Amdu people had never heard before, many things, and I'm just going to share a few of the stories. Because we're talking about the gospel here this morning, what's so good about the good news? And I'm coming in the back door, I'm letting you know. I'm coming in the back door of your mind through the story of how the Amdu heard and believed and trusting the Lord to use that in your life. But there were many things, as you can understand, the Amdu had never heard of before. One of them was that God had made their ancestors, Adam and Eve, for himself and for each other. They weren't some accident. If you go around the world and ask people, where do you believe mankind came from? They'll often have an answer. Whether it came from long ago and people said, well, it has to do with these birds. They dropped these seeds and that's where the first man and woman came from. Or they give you some story about the sun or the crocodiles. Or water, this or that, there's usually some origin story. And guess what? That sounds kind of funny to us. We're like, how could they possibly think that? Guess what the majority of people in our country believe? Something pretty funny, too. That we came from monkeys. And if I told any of them that we're tempted to laugh about their beliefs, that our country, with all its education, believes this, they would burst out laughing. We each think the other is funny, right? But we're all mixed up. We need to be purified by God's word. So they weren't some accident or some clever thing that another man or an animal did or something that arose from nature. And then God gave them the position of manager over the earth. He gave them this special authority. The earth had been lovingly designed for them to live in with humans in mind, and we emphasized that they were sovereignly given position. But then they disobeyed the one rule God gave them. You know this story. It's not 10 rules, it's one. God gave them one rule, and they broke it. And they took the shortcut the enemy offered. Now, we could talk about temptation, because I don't think the enemy works all that different when you boil it down. He is trying to give you a shortcut to something God wants to give you. But being unwilling to wait, we take the shortcut the enemy offers into sin. And it always crumbles into dust what the enemy promises. So you can see by this picture, things are not the same anymore. And immediately after they sinned, they were separated from God. What did God promise them if they sinned? Anybody know? Death. Very good. Death is separation. Death equals separation. In this case, what kind of separation are they experiencing? Separated fellowship, relationship. They're no longer related to God in the exact same way as they were before, no longer rejoicing to see him. Now they're hiding, cringing in fear. This is a picture of shame. We illustrated the situation the Amdu were in and the one we're all in because of Adam by using a broken branch. The people who clean this building probably cringed when they saw me carry this in, because something very well may fall off of this morning. You know, and that's like us. Stuff's falling off. Stuff is breaking on us. And the people who have gray in their hair here this morning are like, amen. I wasn't always like this. So to illustrate the broken people that all of us as children of Adam and Eve are, through all of history, we took the biggest branch we could possibly break off. We took it into our teaching house and we jammed it into the ground so that when people came to hear the lesson every day, and this is a pitiful little version of it, they would see that thing doing what every single day? Slowly dying. And this thing's dead. I just picked it up here last night in the rain, and it's all... I could have brought another one from Pennsylvania, but it would be dead too. It's just Pennsylvania, Ohio. Pennsylvania is where we're from, where we live, right over the border, by the way. Anyway, we jammed that thing into the ground, and every day we came in and talked about that thing. How, as children of Adam and Eve, we are dead, broken off branches, broken off from what? Broken off from a tree, broken off from God. He's the one life is in. He has the life. We are fallen, broken off from God. And money, some of you have seen this illustration before. And the question immediately dawns in people's mind, how do I get myself jammed back into that tree? I want the life. I know where the life is. It's in God. How do I get that thing running through me again? Before you get to the good news, there's got to be a strong dose of bad news. So people ask the question, what's so good about this good news? So they disobeyed God and they were broken off from him, dead. This branch right here has no chance of bearing any fruit, does it? It doesn't matter. You don't have to live in a jungle to know that, but the people in the jungle know that very well. They know their world. No fruit, no leaves, no blossoms, no nothing can come from this thing. It's broken, broken off from the source of life, unable to do anything good. That is so important to pin that into people's minds, because people have that sickness I was talking about that's saying, I believe that my good might outweigh my bad. Probably even at Cedarville University, people believe that. If you go to another university in this area, which there are many, that's probably even more prevalent. They've gotten this sickness, this idea that God will accept some pitiful good thing they do, and the broken off branch cures people of that. There is nothing good you can do to please God so that he might call you righteous and say, come on up. So this was a powerful illustration to the Amdu of their position, dead branches broken off from God. And whenever ability or works came up in our teaching, which we taught for 3.5 months, every day, we always brought the listeners back to their position. We're all totally unable to do anything good to reunite ourselves with God again. We cannot gain God's favor by good things. I'll give you another picture here of Adam and Eve walking out of the garden. We're all children of Adam and Eve, dead branches broken off from the life of God. The next thing we taught them that they had to hear was that God saw everything. Because the Amdu believe they can trick people, and that's even a value to them. And so as a result, they believe they can trick God. So we had to root that one out. God sees everything, and you cannot hide anything you know up here from him. And when in the Bible's account he came looking for Adam and Eve, he wasn't looking for them because he didn't know where they were. You already know this. He came looking for them because he had seen and heard it all, and he cared about them and had to do something. He had to address it. I want to zero in on just something here that maybe has never been highlighted in your life before. When God came to them and was talking to them about their consequences, how death was going to work its way out in their life as man and woman, and he talked to the serpent too, what bit of hope did he give them? There was a bit of hope he gave inside that after the consequences about Genesis 3:15. Now that should give you a clue. He talked to them about the Ten Commandments, right? Okay, I'm trying to pound that one, you can tell. And there's a reason. That one needs to die. Okay, there's too many mixed up Christians even who believe there's something in that that will please God. There's only one thing that's going to please God, and that's wound up in this hope he gave them. Did he talk to them about church attendance? Right after he told them about the consequences, was he telling them about how good they needed to be made one with him again? No! You should be saying, no, 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 it wasn't the Ten Commandments. What did he tell them about? The hope is in someone. He told them he was going to send someone. And at this point in time, he didn't say who it was, right? Throughout the Old Testament, does he ever say his name? Well, you might say he does, because we do get a lot of titles. But no is also a correct answer. But he gives more and more light as we're supposed to be growing in our anticipation of this person who's coming, who is told from the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned and fell, someone is going to come. Someone will come to make things right again. Someone is the one you should be looking for. Throughout the testimony of the Old Testament leading up to the Messiah coming, someone is the one you're supposed to be looking for. We get sidetracked over and over. And what is he called at that point? I'm zeroing in on the Bible students now. I'm not talking about you taking the Bible major. Everyone in here is supposed to be a student of the Bible. What was he called? He was called something. You can't walk away with a name for this guy besides someone. We called him the Satan Crusher. The Satan Crusher sounds like a wrestler on TV, right? Anyway, he's the Satan Crusher. We called him that from the beginning. He's the promised one who would be sent to overcome the enemy. So the story in the Bible is the story of the coming Redeemer, this one who was going to come so that people would have a way to be made right with God again. That is so key. And the Bible is the long story of God's fantastic love for people, his continual pursuit of what he originally intended, humans living in a vibrant, close relationship of dependence on God. Now, I'm going to zoom through the next few pictures because I want to show you a two-minute video at the end, and I'll cue that up here at the end. But just let me quickly show you just a few as we track through the Old Testament. We told the story, among others, as you can imagine, if we taught 5 days a week for 3.5 months, we told some stories I'm not going to show you here this morning. But this story is familiar to the story of Noah, God, and the plan for the boat that God gave him, how this is a picture of the Redeemer, the one way that God made for them to be saved, you might say. Those who believed God did what? They walked into the boat. They said yes to the plan. Those who said, no way, stayed outside. God closed the door, and what happened? Absolute, total judgment for sin. I chose not to put a picture. I actually have a picture that's pretty scary. As you can imagine, that picture is something we don't like to picture. But this is a great picture of judgment. God's sure and total judgment. He does come through on what he says. But he always gives a way of escape. We also talked to them about the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Isaac is another great picture the son tied up on the altar. He can't do anything. He's hopeless and helpless in his position, and the knife is coming down. You're very familiar with this story, so I'll just tell it quickly. I actually did this with one of my sons. Piled up as many rocks as I could find, tied him up, put it on there. This is drama for the, you know, drama for the teaching that day. And it was very emotional for me to do that. I was not expecting that. But as you know the story, it highlights not just the son and his hopeless position, but God gives the way. So he provided the lamb. They didn't bring it, right? You know that, right? They didn't bring the lamb. The son actually says, "Dad, where's the lamb?" And he says, "God will provide." And he did. God provided this lamb, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the story teaches us so many things about God's provision, how we're supposed to be looking, but this picture of a lamb keeps coming up across the Old Testament. God allowed them to bring a pure, spotless lamb to take their place to cover their sin. All those things I don't have time to go into today. It's a pitifully short amount of time that we save on Sunday mornings to remind ourselves about these things, but I trust that you know them and you can go over them together as a body. But those are very, very important points. God meant there to be a contrast there and something similar, for there to be a lamb for there to be looking for. And the contrast was that this was the lamb, the lambs were meant to be a covering. And you'll see the difference in just a moment. So I want to show you a couple of pictures here of people listening to the teaching. Listening. Some were listening very, very closely as we talked about various Bible accounts, the accounts in the Bible of God bringing Israel out of Egypt, how he brought them to the Red Sea, how they were in this hopeless position. Only God could provide the way out, and he did. So many stories like that, but are you seeing the theme? I need to rush on because there's a couple of other illustrations I want to show you. We not only talk to them about being dead, broken off from the life of God, we also illustrated the situation they were in with one of their own bark string bags. So the ladies make these out of bark. If you like to knit, or you like to, what's another? Crochet. See, I'm really up on that. You're welcome to come and feel this afterwards. Ladies make this all day long. And young ladies also have to make them because they're going to become older ladies. This is part of their money, you might say. So this is made from the bark of a tree. And I can tell you about that. But they also carry their babies in these. They carry firewood, they carry garden food, and they carry their babies in here like this. So mom will put baby in there, and then she can work hands-free, one of the hands-free devices. And I jostled that. So we talked to them about the fact that they were born into the wrong family. We used their bark string bag to talk about how they were born into Satan's family, far apart and away from the life of God. And they so badly wanted to take themselves out of this bedroom and put themselves into God's family. And we said, you cannot. Only God can do that. We illustrated God's family with another one. This one's not quite as rough. You can feel both of them. They have a way of grading them. So one is not quite so rough as the other. And we said, only God can put you into his family. I don't know that this is going to hang here. Yeah. So you can come feel those afterwards. We told them, you were born into the wrong family, separated from God, a dead, broken off branch, unable to put any fruit, leaves, or blossoms on your branches. We also gave them more bad news. You owe a debt you cannot pay. And they know all about debt because they have to buy their wives. They have to pay their wife's family to marry her. But what was the payment that God demanded for sin? Death. A payment for sin is death. Have you ever heard that before? Yep. They couldn't pay it. Not with any amount of bark string bags or axes or machetes or pots or money. Nothing. God would accept nothing except death. They clearly needed someone to help them. That's what the whole teaching program was leading them to, looking for this someone that God said he would send. The Old Testament said that God would allow them to sacrifice a spotless lamb for their sins, but where would they get one of those? They're asking me, Bart, where can we get one of these? They don't exist in Papua New Guinea. And throughout this time, the Amdu peoples, as the ones that were listening, were growing in their concern. It seems like there's no way out of this deadly serious situation because of sin. They can't jam their dead branch back in. They can't pay their debt. They can't move themselves from the position of being born in the wrong family to get into God's family, but they desperately want to. And then Jesus Christ, the Son of God, enters the scene, uniquely fulfilling prophecies, the uniquely qualified Son of God. And there was this massive light bulb moment in the life of the Amdu people where they saw John the Baptizer say to Jesus, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So much wrapped up in that. There he is, the someone. There he is, the Lamb of God who takes away. No longer is there going to be covering for sin. He takes away the sin of the world. That is the good news. But you can see how the good news isn't quite so sweet unless you understand the terrible position, the hopeless position that you're in. Jesus came to be the unique lamb to fulfill what was required by God, to be the death in your place, to pay the debt by his spotless blood. The Son of God died in your place so that you could go free. So what happened when the Amdu understood? Something many of you have been praying about with us for many years. Some were saved. And I'll let the believers tell you in their own words. We'll close with this. I'm just going to allow the guys up there to share, to play a two-minute video. And then it's break time and come back for our ABF time, okay? And we'll have a question time together. Go ahead, guys.
Adam so Eve no yel datan yamin kutreng dasik ke
kemin kami kukantilin kata
kami kukantilin kali yesa mitan se kayo tifano kolo klu kata rum nam yesa le mit pote de kanti tinsa
if ma so bombe ye se ye
sa ti yesu sal tapo wo ni pale ble dini ti yesu sal tapo
Asa ya kap mi
nakal
tifanola siga yesus ami tani rom daya nimi urum dap kancit na sega ini ami ami meet atam kal gesi ga ini tifanola si
ya kap midran ni
kan midran ni nam kape
ya wa
Okay, so that's just one of the believer couples, husband and wife. We'll talk about some more of the testimonies, but go have your ABF. I guess we have a team coming, so I'm not dismissing you. Stay where you are. And then we'll talk some more in the ABF hour. Thank you.